call this meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it's 3:35 in the afternoon, Tuesday, February 17, 2009. For the members that are here, Senator Hollis French, Senator Linda Menard, and myself, Senator Olson, this time I'd like to remind everybody to turn off your cell phones, turn off your Blackberries, as it interferes with the sound system. This committee meeting is being teleconferenced and is being recorded. The purpose of this meeting is to bring up legislation that's been previously heard, Senate Bill 85, which has to do with the local option alcohol law. Ms. Carpinetti is here to present the committee substitute. Ms. Carpinetti, identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Annie Carpinetti. I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law. Thank you very much for hearing this bill and for hearing this committee substitute. What this bill does is the original bill lowered the limits that a person could possess before, without giving rise to the presumption, just a presumption that the possession was for purposes of sale. We heard some concerns about that change. So this CS attacks the problem, which is the concern of the amount of alcohol in local option communities, by addressing the time frame, so that this limits the amount. This does not limit amounts. It leaves the amounts in the same, at the same level, but it limits the time frame that a package store can send alcohol to a local option community.
Before you go on, Ms. Carpenter, yes. We're talking about /R. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And just for the purpose of the record, I'll move, Mr. Chairman, that we adopt this as our working document, CS for Senate Bill Number 85. Is that a matter of order?
We can certainly do that now, or we can listen to what the testimony is and then adopt it afterwards. I'll rather do that if we could. That way we know what we're adopting. Is that okay with you, Senator Meyer? Ms. Carpinetti, go ahead.
Sure. Under current law, in response to a written order from a local option community, a damp community, a package store can send 10.5 liters of distilled alcohol. I'll just use that because that's the probably the most critical item, to every individual in a local option damp community every month. This bill would change that time period so that that provider, that licensee, could send in response to a written order the same amounts of alcohol, but only one shipment in a 2-calendar month period. So the bill would have the effect of limiting the amount of alcohol that is sent to a local option community, but it would not change the amounts of alcohol that a person may possess without giving rise to the presumption that that possession is for purposes of sale, and it does not change the amount that is the threshold amount for bootlegging between a misdemeanor and a felony. So it changes the time frame.
Mr. Chairman, for me.
Senator French.
That last part again about does it or does it not affect the felony threshold?
It does not.
Leaves it intact.
It leaves it intact now. The way it is now. So if
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. And it also included in the bill, in the same way as in the original version, it adopts civil penalties on licensees whose employees or agents are convicted of providing alcohol, furnishing alcohol to a minor on their premises. It's the same as the original bill. The first would be a letter of warning from the ABC board. Second and subsequent would be a civil fine of $1,000. And it does also address the fixes on two pieces of legislation that passed last year that had contained errors. One is the minor consuming that was passed in the last hours of the session last year. And it also addresses the problem with the mandatory minimums for bootlegging, and they were supposed to be the same as mandatory minimums for drunk driving, and because of the definition of previously convicted were different, it did not do what it was supposed to do, and this changes that, so it does.
Any further questions of Ms. Carpenter? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so I understand, it cleans up minor consuming, it cleans up the penalties to make them consistent with DWI.
Yes.
And the only thing it really does, I mean, just to be sort of blunt, is that it goes from 1 month to 2 months on the amount of distilled liquor, wine, and alcohol you can have shipped to you.
Yes, well, it does two things. It does that, plus it adopts civil penalties for licensees.
Yes, thank you.
Whose employees are convicted of furnishing alcohol to a minor. Right now, there is no penalty for that, for a licensee. The ABC board has the ability, if it sees a pattern of violations, to do something, but I've represented the ABC board for several years, and that has never happened. So these are consequences for a licensee to encourage licensees to...
Card.
Yes, and to make sure their employees do. Most licensees are highly responsible, they do, but we have some problem ones that don't take it seriously, and you know, their employees can get convicted, but they aren't because they haven't, you know, furnished the alcohol.
Sure. Any further questions of Ms. Carpinetti by members of the committee? Senator Bernard.
So does this satisfy if you're out in a rural community and you're going to have a party, you can get the 10.5 liters 1 month because that you're going to have 24 bottles of wine and, you know, to put on this part, but then the next month, then you can't get that.
You can get it in a two-month
in
period.
In a two-month
But
period.
This is one individual, you know.
Right, right.
Every month. I mean, a family, a couple can get
right,
double this
I've
amount.
I've heard concern around this table that, you know, that sometimes you do have a party and you want to have mm-hmm. a private party with this amount of, and it doesn't mean that you're consuming it, nor are you bootlegging it, or...
Sure.
And then if I can just recap, so the ABC board would issue a letter of caution that this has been in violation, and then it would be $1,000. This is for the minor, sale of a minor.
Right.
And then it would be $1,000 fine.
That is for a bar owner. Let's just take example, a bar owner whose bartender has been convicted of furnishing alcohol. That is providing alcohol to a minor on that licensee's own premises.
Okay.
This would be, first would be a letter of warning, and second and subsequent would be civil fines.
Before we go any farther, let the record reflect that Senator Kukesh has joined us. Go ahead, Ms. Senator Bernard.
And that's in line then with the DWI.
Well, that's separate from the DWI. DWI, drunk driving is what I call it, drunk driving DWI. There are mandatory minimum penalties in our statute for people convicted of drunk driving, and there are mandatory minimum penalties for most people who commit bootlegging. Last year, the legislature intended to adopt similar penalties for drunk drivers as there are for bootleggers, as there are for drunk drivers, but they just didn't quite make it in terms of the felony
bootleggers. And this brings it into.
Any further questions of Ms. Carpinetti from members of the committee? Senator Kukesh?
No, I had a chance to meet with her before the meeting.
Okay, if you don't, Senator French?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I wanted you to adopt the CS.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt CS for Senate Bill number 85, /R.
If there's no objections, committee substitute for Senate Bill 85, /R has been adopted. With that, we'll go ahead and have testimony. Anybody in the room want to go ahead and testify to Senate Bill 85? If not, we'll go off-site. First, we have Thor Williams from Bethel would like to go ahead and testify. Mr. Williams, are you on, sir?
Yes, Senator, I am here.
Could you identify yourself for the record, Thor, Mr. Williams, and give us your testimony?
Senator, my name is Thor Williams, T-H-O-R. Williams' last name is W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S. I'm here to make testimony concerning the changes to this Senate bill, committee substitute R. I think this is going to have the negative consequences concerning that you're limiting the amount of alcohol one person can get from once a month to twice a month, that you're limiting that amount of alcohol. I think there is a concern that this is going to be a backlash to this law, and that local option communities are going to get out of the local option totally, and we're going to become wet communities, so that we can govern ourselves and concerning this alcohol issue. It is a major concern because local option has helped our communities be able to circumvent some of the problems that we've had in the future and in the past. But now that people want to tread on our rights concerning alcohol. This is leading our communities into getting away from this law and challenging ourselves to look at different options of looking at opening our own liquor stores and at bars and situations. I've called the ABC board and talked to the director and indicated and asked her to come out to the city of Bethel to indicate to the city of Bethel what it means if our community becomes wet and gets out of local option, and so that we are clear about how this is going to affect our community. Our community is very concerned about this bill and would ask that this bill die in committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. Ms. Carpinetti, do you want to go ahead and answer his concern about the local option issue, or do you want to wait till after all the testimony is up? Okay. Thank you. Next, we have Dave Trantham. Mr. Trantham, are you on, sir?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Trantham, T-R-A-N-T-H-A-M, longtime resident of Western Alaska. Mr. Chairman, many years ago, the citizens of Bethel voted to be a local option community. Title IV of state statute became law. Some of the provisions in Title IV, there would be no alcohol sales in Bethel. It would be legal to possess alcohol. It would be legal to import alcohol by freight. And it would also be legal to import alcohol in luggage. Over the years, the legislators have amended Title IV, making the local option law more restrictive for local option communities. For example, in 07, it was amended. In 08, it was amended. In 09, there is attempt to amend it again. Mr. Chairman, it is my sincere belief if Senate Bill 85 passes with new restrictive limits, and it is my testimony, there will be unintended consequences, and I'd like to give you a few examples of what I believe will happen. Number one, the citizens of Bethel will vote to opt out of the local option. Number two, there is some discussion going on about the city of Bethel going wet and having a city-owned and operated liquor store. Number three, this will mean, if Senate bill passes, it will mean lost revenue to the city of Bethel through alcohol user fee, which is set at 6%. On sales in Anchorage. It will also be lost revenue to the state through alcohol tax. Number five, if this bill passes, the value of alcohol for bootlegging purposes will increase greatly. Number six, more homebrew production will take place in Bethel, even though it's a criminal offense. Number seven, more consumption of Lysol, Listerine, and cooking wine and other products that contain alcohol definitely will take place. And number eight, and this is one of my bigger concerns, drugs is already a problem in Bethel, and more people will be turning to hard drugs for their fix. Mr. Chairman, I do not support Senate Bill 85, at least the section that reduces the quantity that one may possess or import. I don't know what all the solutions are, but I feel this is not the right direction. I have heard many people say, since we voted for the local option, we are being treated like children. We are being treated like second-class citizens. Just because we tried to help And I personally feel the local option is the best thing for Bethel, meaning the damp status. I lived here when it was wet. It was ugly. I lived here when it was dry. It was ugly. I've lived here many years as damp. It's still ugly. I don't know where this is headed. Now the governor has recommended, and she's in the mix, and recommended these changes. There's good things in this bill. I don't know why they are all jumbled together, but I cannot support Senate Bill 85. I don't know if it comes as a package. If we have to take a position on all of these issues, I believe some of the issues are good, Mr. Chairman. And I thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Mr. Transom, thank you very much for your testimony.
You're welcome. If there's questions, I'd be glad to respond.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Transom? Senator French.
I'll ask a question. Hi, Mr. Transom. It's Hollis French here in Juneau. I'm curious, do you think there should be any limits on how much alcohol an individual can buy who lives in a damp community?
I have no problem with that limits. I do not drink all that much, and I can live with the new limits, but it's the principle of the thing here. And yes, I feel some limits is necessary. It's important because some people, if they order too much, there's going to be too much abuse. Thank you for the question.
Mr. Trantham, do you have an approximate amount that you think the limits which would be appropriate for a community like Bethel or even for other communities throughout the state where you can go ahead and still address some of the issues that are dealing with bootlegging?
I believe the limits should not be changed at all from what they're set. Most of us have learned to adjust and live with the limits that were established in the past. I can't remember what year they were established. I accept the limits. I think most people accept the limits with a few exceptions. We knew there would be limits to what we could order and possess. When we voted for this local option, we didn't know it was going to be changed and amended over the years. And I believe if it's reduced to 2.5 cases of beer a month, and I believe that's what it calculates out to, that will be very, very much too small. Especially, we have a lot of veterans coming home from overseas, and we have a lot of veterans in this area that fought for their rights to have a beer. And I'm one of those veterans. Thank you.
Any further questions, Mr. Trantham, by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much, Mr. Trantham.
Thank you, sir. And thanks to the committee for listening.
Okay, next we have Dan Leinberger. Mr. Leinberger, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. My name is Dan Leinberger. I'm the vice mayor for the city of Bethel, although I'm not speaking as a representative of the city at this time. I'm representing myself personally. I would like to start off by stating that I believe that the intentions of Senate Bill 85 are well-intentioned. However, out of the four provisions that are called for, three of them I would certainly agree with. However, the fourth one pertaining to limitations, I have serious concerns with. And it mostly revolves around not so much what is the correct limitation. Should it be 3 liters of distilled spirits or 10.5 liters for every month or every 2 months? But more to the point, is that this should be a local decision. What does the damp community, for their own purposes and needs, determine what is the appropriate amount? And again, I preface this by saying I understand where this is coming from, efforts to curtail bootlegging, particularly in dry communities that are approximate to Bethel and Kotzebue and Beryl. I get that. But the impact isn't so much on the dry communities as it is the damp communities, again, Kotzebue, Bethel, and Beryl. And to my knowledge, there's not been any local input from any of those three communities to this Senate bill until today. There's been no local hearings held out here. The local governments have not been consulted. And that's somewhat concerning on this end. And I would point out that Beryl, in my opinion, is a classical case of local preference for local option. Several years ago, when they changed their status from wet to dry to wet to damp back and forth almost every year during the 90s, they finally settled on a damp situation in which now they have a delivery site. And coupled with that, they also, if memory serves me correctly, they reduced the allowable amount of alcohol coming into Beryl from what the current state limits are to something less. And I apologize, I don't have those exact figures, but I believe it is something less than what the state allows. Again, that's a classical example of a local decision process intertwined within this local option that we have under state law. I did listen to the CRA committee hearing 2 weeks ago in which Ms. Carpinetti, representative from the troopers, and I apologize, I don't have my notes, believe it was somebody from behavioral services, testified to the various social and physical ills of alcohol. And while there's no way I can refute that, because everything they said was, in my opinion, absolutely correct, the point isn't so much of is it bad, the point is that it should be a local decision. Presently, wet communities such as Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, Kenai have no restriction on alcohol purchases. Somebody could walk into a liquor store and buy the pallet load. And I don't think that that's certainly what would be intentioned. However, that is the dichotomy that is presented itself, where on the one hand you have testimony from state officials stating how bad alcohol is, and under the current limits within damp communities, it's a lot of alcohol, but wet communities have no restriction whatsoever. So therein, again, lies the dichotomy. If alcohol is so bad and the state believes it should be limited in damp communities, why not go that extra step to wet communities? The argument has to be the same. So, again, it feels as though the damp communities affected by this bill, as the previous gentleman stated, are kind of being treated like children, that we can't make our own decisions for ourselves. We have to rely on somebody, a group of somebodies 800 miles away, who have not had any input from this area on this bill. So, in conclusion, I applaud the efforts on trying to diminish the effects of alcohol in rural Alaska, and I'm fully supportive of the provisions that deal with the minors consuming the areas which also deal with sales in the packaged liquor stores, but I can't support without local input the provisions that pose any additional limitations to purchases of alcohol in damp communities. Thank you very much.
Any questions of Mr. Leinberger by members of the committee? Mr. Leinberger, how long have you lived out in Bethel?
I've lived in Bethel for 8 years. I grew up in Beryl.
Oh, okay, and you're well aware of some of the bootlegging problems and some of the issues that are dealing with small communities in the outlying area?
I am, sir.
And you stated in there that, you know, some of these wet communities like Anchorage and Juneau and Kenai and those kind of places, there's no restriction on there. And I think the the issue that I'm bringing up is that you've got one of the reasons there's no restriction on there is because you've got services that are available in these communities, like jails, like holding facilities, like sleep-off centers, like hospitals that you don't have. And I think the thrust of this bill is to try and deal with the problems that are out in places like Shaktulik, Savunga, Golovin, Atkasuk, Napaskiak, and places that you can have that are in close proximity to a community that has access. Would you not agree?
I would agree. You've made a valid point that in those villages that are proximate to Kotzebue, Barrow, and Bethel, who have decided to go dry, it is a difficult situation where they have chosen to go dry but may not have the means to necessarily police themselves to be dry. And I would agree that that the three communities are a funneling point from the wet communities into damp communities. But I believe this particular provision, the bill, will not address the desired outcome, that it will have more of an unintended consequence of, at least within Bethel, either to opt out of the local option, which then, by default, you're damp, but now have no limits to importation, which I think we could all agree would be utter chaos and highly not desired, or to go wet. Again, you know, that would take a vote of the people in either case, but I think that there are some serious consequences as to how far you push. And again, I believe that the more appropriate measure is to locally police that within Bethel, within Kotzebue, within Barrow, as in terms of limitations.
Mr. Leinberger, I agree with you there, and certainly a man that has been around both in Barrow and Bethel has got a perspective that many other people don't have. Any other members of the committee have a question for Mr. Leinberger? If not, Ms. Carpinetti, would you come on up here and answer some of the questions that are very concerning to us, is in that Mr. Trantham, who's got a fair amount of time, was on the Bethel City Council for years. Mr. Williams, who was the former mayor of Bethel, have concerns about losing the local option and the possibility that you're going to have utter chaos, as well as Mr. Trantham saying that, you know, it was ugly back when they were wet, it was ugly when they were dry. And how do we, what answer do you have for that? Because I too am concerned that if Bethel does go that way, as a high school student, I was down to Bethel when they were wet, and it was terrible.
Mr. Chairman, a couple things I'd like to say. I agree that that would be, if that was an unintended, if that was a consequence of this bill, that would not be a good thing. We would be sorry about that. And it is for those concerns that we suggested this CS, which does not change those limits, except to the extent that it makes it, it changes them in terms of how much a person can order in a 2 month period rather than a 1 month period. I would say that the governor did not suggest this bill in a vacuum. It was originally, although the governor has been aware of the limits and the amounts in Title IV, the original impetus for this bill came from the former representative from Bethel in a hearing in the House Finance Committee last session. She suggested that the limits were too high, and a lot of the people at that hearing agreed with her, and other members of the House have also agreed with her. These limits were not suggested in a vacuum. But, you know, considering that we had heard from the ABC board that people had called and saying, you know, we're worried about the unintended consequences, we suggested this compromise, which is not nearly as big a change as the original bill. I would say that Mr. Trantham's comments were mainly, I think, geared toward the original bill and not to the CS. And Mr. Leinberger's, let's see, I'm just reviewing my notes so that he agrees with the limitations, but has serious concerns of what would happen. I don't know that the limitations in the CS are as serious as to give rise to that possibility that a damp community would go would change their local option in response to it. You know, I've spoken to some people who said, you know, it's important for people who, you know, like all of us, like to go to Costco and make it an order that that will last us for some time, which is why we thought, well, maybe by leaving the limits as they are and just changing the time, that would answer that concern. Because the limits will stay the same. It's just the period of time. And as the representative from Health and Social Services testified at the last hearing on this bill, the current limits, every month, every adult, you know, are like 12 shots of hard alcohol every day, day in and day out. So that's a concern, and that's why I think the former representative from Bethel wanted to lower the limits, and that's why we introduced this bill to address those concerns.
What about some of the other concerns Mr. Trantham brought up about decreased revenue for the state?
Well, I guess that is a concern, but, you know, I think that the health benefits of just, you know, and you know, the villages, particularly people from the villages have said, have asked us to work on this and lowering the amount. I think that advantage way over outweighs the revenue from alcohol tax, in my view, and from what I understand that people in local villages believe. That's a loss.
What about the concern that homebrew production is going to increase?
Well, you know, this is not, the CS is not that big of, not such a change that would make, I think, that would have the effect. And I think maybe Mr. Trantham was discussing the original bill, which was 3 liters rather than 10.5 currently allowed. I don't think that the CS, by, you know, giving you half the amount that the current law amounts, or the whole amount over a two-month period, would really result in an increase in homebrew, especially in the damp areas.
And obviously the big one has to do with the consumption of other fluids that have alcohol contained in them, like Lysol and things like that. I mean, I find that very concerning.
I do too, but with the less severe approach in the CS, I don't know that somebody having the ability to have 10.5 liters every 2 months would find themselves. I guess I would like to ask Mr. Trantham whether he had looked at at our proposed CS and to see whether he had similar concerns about that one as compared to the original bill.
Mr. Trantham, are you still on, sir?
There you go. Say it again.
I am, sir.
Have you had a chance? Ms. Carpinetti had asked, had you had a chance to take a look at the new CS, the new committee substitute for Senate Bill 85?
I have not. I was just handing a copy just a second ago. I have not had an opportunity to read it.
And actually, my questions to Ms. Carpinetti had to do with some of the eight or nine concerns that you had brought up about increased homebrew and mainly the consumption of Lysol and other alcohol-containing substances within the store.
Sir?
The thought was that with the amount of alcohol, not necessarily that you could order it at a specific time, not changing, just the duration of the time, was wondering if that would alleviate some of the concerns that you had.
I don't think so. I don't believe so at all. I don't know if any of you have ever lived in Bethel. The stores have to put Lysol and Listerine and other products, cooking wine and all products with alcohol. They have to be stored in a locked container, and they will not sell to some people that use this very bad stuff for a fix when they can't find or can't have alcohol. It's really, really bad here, sir.
Okay, well, I don't think any of us have had that privilege of living in Bethel.
I would like to suggest for someone from your committee come out here. I'd be glad to show them around and take them around. I'd be very, very glad to give you a first-hand tour of this community and what life and what it's really like out here.
Well, hopefully sometime in the near future we'll be able to take you up on that very generous offer.
And just keep me posted, and I'll meet you at the airport. I'll do whatever I have to, and I'd be delighted to give you a tour of this community.
Senator Kukish has... Well, I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Mr. Trantham. If any, no other questions for him...
Thank you.
Senator Kukish has a question for Ms. Carpinetti.
Is Bethel wet or damp?
Through the chair, Bethel is damp, but a lot of the communities surrounding Bethel are dry.
Follow up, Senator Kukish. No. Senator Menard.
Thank you. Has there been any discussions about urban Alaska and, say, a limitation put on, say, in Anchorage or other places that individual can buy? I understand local option, and that's a damp community, but has that, since you were preparing this bill, has there been any thought of, you know, are we dealing with this in a fair way? Because it makes sense to me that in urban Alaska too, why should I as an individual be able to just have no end in sight of what I can purchase?
Through the chair, I don't think there's been, I haven't heard any discussion of that approach. These are, as Mr. Leinberger said, these are local options. So Anchorage or Juneau have the opportunity to adopt a local option if they choose. They just have not done so. So the, you know, local options are voted on by the, you know, by the people who live in the community.
Follow up, Senator Menard. Senator Kukish.
But isn't local option also to be wet? And that's what Juneau and Anchorage are?
Through the chair, that's kind of the fallback position. Communities are wet unless they adopt.
Unless they adopt
other ones. They vote for a local option.
We would have the exactly same problem in Juneau if they decided to go down. So that, I guess my point is that the arguments that this bill will help to perpetuate a worse alcohol problem doesn't sell with me, doesn't work with me. I mean, I live in rural Alaska, I live in one of the villages, and I think that this is a step toward the right direction.
Thank you, I agree.
We gotta do something.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to ask Ms. Carpinetti about one suggestion that was made, I think by Mr. Lein, is it Berger or Barger?
Berger.
Mr. Leinberger, about, he referenced that Barrow had lowered their limits below that of state law. And I wondered about if you knew that was true, and if so, how they would enforce it. If you didn't, would they do it through the Barrow Police Department rather than through a state police officer? Because you could see where a tighter ordinance, as you know, vis-a-vis the state statute, would leave you in sort of a limbo as far as enforcement.
Through the chair, several years ago, I don't recall the year, but several years ago, because several communities wanted to adopt lower limits, they made that one of the options. It's not, I think it's AS.
There's a separate provision.
Yeah, that allows communities to do that, and I think St. Mary's did it, and allows the troopers to then help enforce
lower limits.
Because it's part of the state statute. So I assume that's what happens in Barrow. Barrow's local option limits, I think, are similar to what are half what they are in state law for the, you know, various amounts that can be brought in.
Senator French.
This is more of a comment, I guess, than a question. But, I mean, I agree with Senator Kukish. Something has to be done. On the other hand, I'm very sensitive to the argument that we're sort of imposing our will on a group of people that are perfectly capable of, they have bodies elected to impose the will of the community. And, you know, Bethel thinks they need to lower the limits for damp possession. You know, their assembly meets year-round, and they could walk in there and do it, I'm sure, very soon. You know, on the other hand, you know, you do the math, and this is a lot of liquor. I mean, it's way. I mean, and you can't sort of help but superimpose your own judgment or your own life on it, and you think that's, you know, more alcohol than I would drink in a year. You know, I'm a one or two glass of, you know, wine a guy kind of day. So, you know, I don't oppose the bill. It's worthy of discussion, but I think it's a, I think it's something that Bethel may want to step in and take the reins on before this bill passes, and that way. You know, I think it would probably obviate the need for it. Thank you.
Any further questions of Ms. Carpinetti? If not, we have one more person want to testify, and that's Dale Fox. Mr. Fox, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
If you could identify yourself for the record, who you're with, and go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dale Fox, and I'm president and CEO of Alaska Char. We represent restaurants, bars, and package stores all across the state of Alaska. I'm here to speak on SB 85. There are three issues I'd like to raise. First, one of Char's top priorities is reducing underage drinking, and the technical fixes to the minor consuming portion of this bill has our full support. The second issue is the one that you guys have been talking about. We question the provision, the need for a provision to further limit the amount of alcohol that could be shipped or possessed in rural Alaska. Communities have the power to establish lower limits, and many do. And so we don't believe that a new state law is needed. There are several programs in place to limit the availability of alcohol to people who might be bootleggers, including the state of Alaska's ABC board database that tracks bush sales. The new lower limits will not stop bootleggers who are also already operating outside the law. In fact, this provision could actually promote bootlegging. Profitability as rural Alaskans who want more than the allowed amount, whatever that turns out to be, turn to the illegal market. All this provision does is hurt businesses who legally retail alcohol and promotes criminal behavior by those who otherwise are law-abiding citizens. The third provision Char objects to is the bill imposing fines on owners of establishments if their employees make a mistake. There are already significant penalties for making a mistake of selling to minors. Some of those penalties include notice of violation that goes against the owner's liquor license, and I note Ms. Carpinetti says they've never had enough repeat problems there to actually act on those at the ABC board. There are fines, there are jail time, there are closures. Selling to minors is not taken lightly, and responsible owners do the best they can to compel their staff to be vigilant with underage drinkers. But fining the owner who has a large staff, say a staff of 40, for one of them making a mistake is punitive, and it doesn't put responsibility where responsibility ought to be. So I encourage you to pass the technical fixes for the minor consuming and delete the other section of this bill for the reasons I've explained earlier.
Do we have any questions, Mr. Fox? Senator Kukish.
Mr. Fox, my whole direction as a rural legislator is to find out how to control bootlegging in rural Alaska. If this solution isn't the one that you like, tell me what your solution is for controlling bootlegging in rural Alaska and tell me who should be responsible for it.
Mr. Fox.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Kukesh through the chair, I don't have the solution. The solution wasn't available during Prohibition. When we try to restrict alcohol consumption, there are a million ways that people are creative and get around it, which we've proved throughout our history. So I'm sorry, I don't have the solution. I wish I did.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Follow-up, Senator Kukish?
No.
Any further questions, Mr. Fox, by members of the committee? If not, Mr. Fox, thank you very much for coming online.
Thank you, sir.
Next, we have Larry Hackenmiller from Fairbanks. Mr. Hackenmiller, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am. My name is Larry Hackenmiller, and I'm a small businessman. And I just talked to a package store earlier this morning, and they indicated that when they sell distilled spirits to barrel, they can only ship 4.5 gallons. Or 4.5 liters, excuse me. So they do have, they exercise the authority they have under local option to limit their own. The state has their limit of 10.5 liters, and they opted in their authority given to them under Title IV to bring that down to meet the needs of their specific community. Now, Bethel can do that, and anybody can do that. Once you've given the people the local option, they can decide if they want to go dry, damp, or wet. The main thing is that it's their decision, they're making it. This bill isn't necessary in that regards when it comes to the two-month limit. All you're basically doing is lowering the bar to make more bootleggers, make them criminals, make more people criminals. You got to remember, this is a possession limit as well. So if I live in a village and I have a bottle of rum sitting there and I want to get my 10.5 or my 10 bottles, I have to drink half of that before I can actually have 10. Now, that's going a little too far in regards to, you know, what a bootlegger can do. You're making a lot of people criminals. Bethel does police its own, I understand, and I think that's one of the keys to it. How do we solve the alcohol problems? There is no solution that I'm aware of. In a particular case where some of these villages did go dry, I think policing it would be there, would help them quite a bit. But then again, when you're in a small village and you know everybody, it doesn't work that way. First of all, the right now, the penalties that the ABC board has are sufficient with regards to bootlegging. I think this law stands. I agree with the previous person, Mr. Fox, when it comes to the rest of this bill. I don't believe that the $1,000 fine, first of all, you're eliminating any due process. There is no hearing process here. This is an automatic fine, and this is for an employee who basically got served a minor. And trust me, they don't do it intentionally. I used to be in the business. Right now, if you catch an employee of a liquor license serving a minor, it's usually during a sting operation, or they prefer to use the word compliance check. And the odds are, if you go to the place 10 times, you're probably going to get them once or twice. You're going to catch them at a moment where because of business or something else. But if it was really a problem with serving minors, then the local police would have a history of that, and this could take place. But sting operations are covert operations. And again, you know, just keep trying, and sooner or later you're going to get them. And then you're going to make the licensee responsible, a $1,000 fine, no hearing, no due process, an automatic fine. The ABC board has the tools now to take that action, and if it was a serious problem, that action would be taken. And again, when I go back to the limit on the liters, I think Bethel nailed it on the head. It's a local option. You gave them the authority when you put those monstrous pages in Title IV regarding a local option. Let them exercise that option. How do you solve the problem with those that go dry, that vote to go dry? That I don't know, but changing the limits doesn't make any difference. And again, you drop it down to 10 in 2 months. That means if, you know, they have booze sitting there and the third month shows up and they want to order 10 more, they can't because it's a possession. They have 4 or 5 bottles left. That would put them over possession. That would make them bootleggers. And again, I think local option will work in this particular case. Let them make the decision. This bill isn't necessary. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hackenmiller. Any questions of Mr. Hackenmiller by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Thanks for coming out. Anybody else want to go ahead and testify in the community, in the committee room? I'm sorry. Commissioner? If you would, please. I had you down here, but it said to testify you had an N next to it, so I'm assuming that was no.
Originally that was.
I thought maybe it was not now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If you'd identify yourself for the committee, Mr. Commissioner, and go ahead with your...
For the record, my name is Joseph Masters, Commissioner of Designee Public Safety. Excuse me. And that's correct. I originally was not intending on testifying, but wanted to just make a couple of comments from my perspective as... Other people testifying were making comments from their perspectives. First off, in comment to the bootlegging, making bootleggers out of people that are possessing more than the allowed limit, that's not what the law does. The law does not turn people that possess
excess amounts of alcohol under the statute into bootleggers. So I just wanted to be clear of that. Certainly, the amounts of alcohol that they possess, if they are caught selling alcohol, would have an effect on whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony type offense. One of the things that I've witnessed over my years in public safety is that the more alcohol that flows into the community, the more problems with alcohol-related crimes and offenses that community has. The state had a wonderful solution that is not perfect, but is helping communities deal with specific problems in specific communities, and that's allowing those communities that have more problems and worse problems to be able to take these options that are available to them in controlling alcohol. One of the things that I keep hearing over and over as I came into my position just since September was, what am I going to do about alcohol-related crimes in rural Alaska, and how can I, and what will I do to stem the flow of alcohol that's flowing into these communities that are having such problems? And we keep hearing this over and over. And you know, one of the people testifying made a comment that each year the statutes are changed, and they're changed again, and they're changed again, and they're changed again. That is not necessarily a bad thing. When a statute is not working correctly, what you do is fix the statute. So taking a look at this year by year and year after year is not a bad thing either. What it does is it allows us to continually look at it and see what's working, and if it's not, try to make adjustments to make it work better. And through the chair, Senator Kukesh's comment about something needs to be done is an absolute truism. Something does need to be done, and communities are asking us, and individuals are asking us, to help them stem the flow of alcohol into their communities, and this bill does that. It allows us to limit alcohol in volumes and frequency that comes into the communities, but also it does address concerns by or concerns that were raised regarding not limiting the specific amount somebody can have at one time, or having a sufficient quantity that you can bring in a bulk format, so you don't have to have increased shipping and things like that. I also want to make a comment on regarding one of the statements of well, actually, there's a whole list of items that one of the people given testimony gave rise or brought up, and that is, one thing that I don't know that was looked at is Barrow's experience. When Barrow reduced the amount from the state limit to their own limit, did that reduction in limits increase the number of bootleggings? Did it increase homebrew production? Did it increase the abuse of other items that are in the grocery stores, such as Listerine and those types of items? I don't know the answer to that, but that is a very valid question. What's Barrow's experience in this? Did they experience the increases in the negative impacts of having that lower than state limit imposed on them? If they did not, then that could be argued that Bethel wouldn't either. Everybody's giving conjecture, I think, on what they think may happen based on living in these areas, but they don't necessarily know that would happen. I have a firm commitment in DPS that communities that do choose to help themselves through local options, we will help those communities help themselves through our public safety efforts. So anyway, Mr. Chairman, thank you for listening to my comments.
Do we have any questions of the commissioner from Senator Menard?
Is it true what the past gentleman just said, that if there was, in fact, a half a bottle of, I don't know if he used gin or rum, in his home, and that he brought in this 10.5 liters, that he would be in violation? Does that count if you still had alcohol in your home and you hadn't used it up, but then you still, did anyone else hear that?
Yeah.
The way in, that just...
Chair.
Question for you or Ms. Carpinetti?
You were kind of saying Mrs. Carpinetti was.
Do you have the answer, Commissioner?
It might be better that Ms. Carpinetti answer that directly.
Okay. Ms. Carpinetti, would you come on up and answer? Did you understand the question?
Yes, I did.
Is identify yourself for the record again, and so we...
This is Annie Carpinetti from the Criminal Division of the Department of Law. No, that is not correct. The 10.5 liters that a person can import and possess is a presumption. That's all that it is, and the troopers have told me that they don't even go after people under those circumstances. It's when it's these... and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the expert here, but... the limits are the amount that a person can bring in and possess without giving rise to a presumption. But, you know, people have weddings in damp communities. They have parties where they have more than that limit. And they can often they will just call the police department and say, I'm having a party. I'm bringing in more alcohol because of this. And they aren't bootlegging because they have more than that amount. You know, it's just a presumption that is rebuttable.
Senator Kukesh.
Could I follow up on that question? I think the question was, it's kind of like your minutes. Does it roll over?
My minutes?
Yeah, you know. If you have booze left over from last month and you make your order and then you get another shipment in and you're stockpiling it, what happens then?
Through the chair, I don't think if you are a person who's drinking this alcohol...
As long as there's no presumption that you're bootlegging. What we're trying to get here is the bootlegger.
Yes. The presumption is that you possess it for sale, which would be bootlegging. But that presumption is just a presumption that can be rebutted. And according to my understanding of what the trooper who testified a couple weeks ago told me, that, you know... They don't pursue cases of normal citizens who order and keep it in their house because they have a little extra left over from the last shipment.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Carpinetti, I think you've actually helped to sort of get a clear understanding of what it is we're doing here. It's mm-hmm. It's more about how much you can ship than how much you can possess.
Correct.
It's aimed more at the liquor stores in Anchorage that ship to the bush, or in Fairbanks that ship to the bush.
The CS is, yes.
The recipient, yes. That's home in Bethel or wherever he or she is. But I guess then you brought up the presumption, and the presumption is in 0411010C, correct?
Yes. Let me get my statutes.
And the reason I brought that up is because I don't, maybe I'm missing it. I don't see that provision in the CS.
Through the chair, that's because the CS doesn't address that presumption.
So you're leaving the presumption where it is?
Yes.
High?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah,
record's clear.
With Thank that you. Train of thought, how do you, and you're trying to go ahead and decide whether somebody's stockpiling or has a large amount of alcohol there, whether he's going to be selling it or not, and you're trying to decide if he is that kind of like thought police. Are you out there trying to figure out whether he's going to sell or not? I mean, that's like a thought policeman, isn't it?
But I would like the commissioner to answer that, because he's a police officer and he can help you with that more than I can. We find people when they're selling illegally.
Okay.
And you can correct me if I'm mistaken. You know, we don't go around, the police don't have time or inclination or authority to do that.
Yeah. Commissioner, do you want to say something about that, or just let that one go?
I'll let that one go. Ms. Carpinetti's representation is correct.
Okay. Anybody else want to go ahead and testify on Senate Bill 85 in the committee room here? Anybody on teleconference? Anybody else on teleconference want to go ahead and testify to Senate Bill 85? If not, we'll go ahead and close public testimony at this time. What are the wishes of the committee?
Before you, can I make a comment? Before you
please.
Make your motion? I really think we need to do something. And I hear the argument that if we limit alcohol in rural Alaska, that we're going to make one alcohol more expensive, more people will be using other alternatives. But to me, that argument in the opposite would be that though you control bootlegging by making alcohol sales plentiful and cheaper. That doesn't work with me. That kind of logic doesn't work with me. And I come from a rural area in the state, and I have not had one constituent call me and say, this is bad for us. I mean, I travel to all of these communities, and they say, do something about alcohol. This is the only train at the station right now. to limit the consumption or limit the amount that you can send into a rural Alaska. I appreciate businesses are going to suffer, but my job is not to worry about a business. My job is to worry about the lives of my constituents. And that is where the impact is, on my constituency. And if this is the area that we have to go down the road, I'm willing to go down that road. If maybe the next step is we go to the department and say, we want better enforcement or we want more enforcement and here's some more money to do that, that's our job too. And this may be just one step of the journey we have to take. And maybe the other step is the enforcement part of it, and I think it is. But I really think that we need to pass this bill and we need to go forward with it because we need to do something. And even if you just send a message, that's something. Not just to the people in rural Alaska who are bootlegging, but to the people who are sending it out and to the enforcement people that we expect more.
Senator Kukish, thanks for your comments. Any other comments by members of the committee? Senator French.
I think we've had a good discussion here, Mr. Chairman, and I think the bill's ready to go. Just, you know, we've worked it over. It should probably go to the next committee. I'll just say the only thing that gives me some pause for concern is the limitation on beer. The gentleman speaking about folks coming back from having served the country and liking a beer kind of resonated with me. And I just did a little math, and while I recognize the department's not aiming at possession so much as shipment, ultimately that's the same choke point. Ultimately, and my math says if you like to have 3 beers a day, which is not an extraordinary amount of beer, you'll have difficulty achieving that level of beer under this bill. You'll have to stockpile or get your wife to order some or something. You'll have to, you know, sort of work around the edges of the rule. And so, you know, maybe the next committee may want to look at and tweak these numbers a little bit. Because that doesn't strike me as being an extraordinary amount of alcohol. The whiskey, the wine, you know, that's all a little higher. And I guess the only other thing I'll say is in a way, when we began this bill, Senator Kukesh made some really, I thought, perceptive points about how this is aimed at, you know, it's always seemed like it's aimed at the Native communities and it's sort of like blaming them. And I think one of the things that these numbers of this sort of list of liquor does is makes you think, oh, these, but if you combine them all, that's way too much alcohol. If you're drinking all 3 of them every day, that's crazy. But very few people do that, right? I mean, if you like a glass of wine with dinner, that's what you have, and this is not an extraordinary amount of wine. If you put them all together, it's way too much. But that's us, I think, in town thinking those, you know, people out there are just, you know, mixing their alcohol and going wild. So I'm ready to pass the bill out, but I think it maybe needs some fine tuning in the next committee. So
if you want to make an amendment, sir?
You know, I'll ponder a little bit more before I do something on the fly, but thank you.
Okay.
Not to make fun of it, but let me tell you a true story. One of the things that people, here's a question. Why do you call a quart of alcohol a fifth in a village? Because there's only 5 drinks in it. I've seen that bottle go around a group of people and maybe 5 people will drink it, and that's the only thing they got, and they drink it fast. Because it may not come around again. It's kind of funny, but at the same time, that's a reality. 5 drinks in it.
Any further comments on Senate Bill 85?
True story.
True story? Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator French.
That, Mr. Chairman, I would move that CS for Senate Bill number 85 /R be moved from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Any objection to moving it from committee? If not, the bill passes out of committee.
Boy, that was a long day.
There'll be no committee meeting this next Thursday, February 19th, 2009. The next week's meeting will be scheduled and announced, so there's nothing else to come before the committee. This committee is adjourned.